You are listening to a True Gospel Perspective from our Macedonia Baptist Church ministerial staff. We pray that this message will be a true blessing to you.
Anybody glad God sent the Holy Ghost? Amen. I'm excited about it. I thank and praise my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I give him honor to my pastor, my mentor, my example of what a preacher should be. I say, Pastor, thank you for this opportunity. I don't take it for granted. There's many other great preachers that you could have called to stand in this place this morning, but you elected to choose me, so I thank you for that, Pastor. To the rest of the preachers and deacons and members and friends, we greet you in the matchless name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Let us pray. Dear eternal and everlasting Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you, we praise you, we honor you today. And God, we really realize that we don't know how to preach, God. But we submit ourselves to you, God, that, Lord, you might speak a word through me, Father, that they'll hear you and not me, Father. We thank you for your word, Father. We thank you for what it comes to do. And we believe that it's going to accomplish that which it set forth, God. So we honor you this morning through the preaching of your word, that, God, someone might be saved, someone might be encouraged, God, someone might be lifted up. We honor you today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name, amen and thank God. Now give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning if you. Indeed, God is worthy to be praised. Every day of my life, I wake up with a praise on my lips. I begin to reminisce about what God has done for me and what he's brought me from. I don't know if he's brought you from where he's brought me from. But the old folks used to say, he's brought me from a mighty long ways. So I honor him today. If you have your Bibles, we're going to look at the 121st Psalms. Psalms 121. We will read this psalm in its entirety. 8 verses. Psalms 121, beginning at verse number 1. And it reads, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. And he will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The Lord shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. And he shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and forevermore. From this text, I would like to pin for a thought this morning. All of my help. All of my help. I believe that I can safely say that everyone that has graced this sacred sanctuary has needed help to get here. There's not one of us that has not needed somebody's help to get where we are today. All of us have depended upon somebody. At some point in life, to help us to get to where we are today. As a matter of fact, none of us have gotten here by ourselves. I know that you may say that you pulled yourself up by your own bootstraps. But understand the fact that some of us don't even have boots, let alone bootstraps. It's been God that has brought us over. It's been God that has brought us from a mighty long way. And I would be a fool to think that I got here on my own accord, because I'm able to look out and recognize that I've got some deficiencies. I've got some problems and some issues. I got some obstacles that I have not been able to get out over on my own. I've needed some help down through the years. I'm not that prideful to think that I've done this all by myself. I realized that I had to have some help. Even as a child, mama and daddy helped get me through school. Because if it was up to me, I would have dropped out in the fifth grade. Didn't like school. But mama pushed. Mama made me bring home the report card, even when it didn't look that good. And I didn't always like it. Didn't always like the chastisement that mama brought. Didn't I always like or think mama, I thought she was wrong on some things. But now that I begin to look back, now that I begin to evaluate the situation, now when I begin to look at where I am today, I said, mama, thank you. Because you helped me to get over. So all of us need some help. And the reason why we need help, because all of us in here have needs. That there's nobody that does not have a need. Because a need is birthed out of a lack in your life. That there's some areas in your life that you're lacking some things. And we all have needs. Well, my question to you is that when you run into a need, where do you look? Who are you looking to? You see, the problem is that we seem to look to the wrong folk when we have a need. There are some of us that are looking to jobs to meet our needs. And yeah, they meet some of them. But what happens when you get the pink slip? What happens when they start laying you off and laying folk off around you? What happens when the money resources dry up? I don't know, you probably never been there before. What happens when there's no one there when you need them the most? What happens when that husband walks out on you? When that wife is unfaithful? What happens when the children aren't acting right? That constitutes a need. And I've had plenty of needs in my life. This psalm is believed to be penned by none other than King Hezekiah during a difficult time in his life. Many believe that it was during the Syrian armies and the threatening of Judah and Jerusalem. The Syrian army was marching towards the city, and this king felt helpless of this massive army. This army was a treacherous army. They were a vile army. They were an army that took pride in being savage and intimidating kingdoms
And no doubt that Assyria had conquered all of Judah's neighbors. They had come in like a flood. And word had begun to infiltrate Judah and Jerusalem that this army was coming. This was a difficult time for King Hezekiah. King Hezekiah reigned for 29 years in Judah. He was a king that has been mentioned throughout the Old Testament. No less than 11 chapters of the Old Testament are dedicated to the kingship of Hezekiah. Isaiah the prophet, you remember, came to Hezekiah. The Bible said that Hezekiah had become sick unto death. And so God sent Isaiah the prophet, told Hezekiah, get your house in order, because you're going to die. This is unto death. You'll die and not live. And the Bible declared that Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and began to remind God of all that he had done for God. How he had torn down the high places of Baal worship. He had reinstituted the worship of the one and the true living God. And now let me tell you that that's a good time to turn your face to the wall and pray. When sickness comes your way, when the doctor said that there is no hope, that you're going to die and not live, when they give you an expiration date, tell you you're going to die. We need to look to the Lord. As a matter of fact, when you get that first opinion, God ought to be the second opinion. Because God has the last say so. So because of Hezekiah's prayer, God sent the prophet back to Hezekiah. And he told Hezekiah, he said, listen here, I'm going to give you 15 more years that I might be able to fulfill the promise I made to your father David, that a king would always occupy this throne. For Hezekiah had no children. So the Lord healed him. But now Hezekiah finds himself in a very sticky situation. The people are looking to Hezekiah for answers. And so Hezekiah tells them in the Psalms, he says, I will lift up my eyes to the hills from whence cometh my help. Now grammatically, that should have a comma afterwards. In other words, he said, I will look to the hills. Where is my help coming from? Well, here Hezekiah answers himself in the very next verse. He said, my help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. And I understand this, that when we're talking about strategical warfare, the mountain is a good place to be. Because the mountain gives you your best vantage point. But understand this, that there's no way that Hezekiah could potentially be talking about the mountains being his help. Because understand this, that the mountain is the best that man could offer. But God looks beyond the mountain. As a matter of fact, what he's saying is that I'm looking beyond the mountain. As a matter of fact, I'm looking of the creator of the mountain. You see, because even though the mountain provides a good vantage point, understand that God has the best vantage point. In other words, he's saying that God is watching over us. I'm looking to God for my help. So I'm asking the same question, who are you looking to? Yeah, most times we have a tendency to look around us for help. Looking for other folk to come in and to save us when God has already done it. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to shame God like that. I realize that it's God who supplies my every need. It, it, it is God that will get me into trouble that I can't get myself out of. It is God that will protect me from my enemies. It is God that will turn that negative medical report into a positive one. It's God that will pay that house note when I run into rough times. I look to the Lord. So he had a need. And this morning, my brothers and sisters, all of us have needs. And we need to know that we can look towards God. But also understand that there is a difference, because God said that he would supply all of our needs according to his riches and in his glory. But there is a distinct difference between a need and a want. God has promised to take care of our needs. And we need to distinguish between what is a need and what is a want. And I'm reminded of a time in which my youngest son, Tyler, came to me. And he told me, he said, "Dad, you know, you need a new car." There was an alternative motive behind this. He said, "Dad, you need a new car." The hopes was that I would buy a new car and give him my car. So my son, being a wise son, I began to evaluate the situation. I said to myself, "Does this car still get me to where I need to go?" Yes. Maybe not as fast, but I still get there. Is my car paid for? Yes. It's not looking good, son. Does my car still start up in the morning? Is it still dependable? Yes. Well, son, I don't think that that's a need. Now, I may want a new car. I may want to ride in style, but right now it's still running, still decent, it's paid for. I don't need a new car. You need a new car. So I took him right on down there to the dealership. If you want a new car, go get a new car. The problem that we get ourselves is sometimes is that we confuse what's a need with what's a want. That's the problem we find ourselves in so many financial mishaps, because we're going out and get the things that we want when we really can't afford what we really want. But God can still get us out of that situation. But you need to understand there's going to be some bumps and bruises along the way. There are many folk that have been foreclosed on because they bought more house than they could afford. Not because they needed a house, but because they wanted something more. Hezekiah had a real need. He had a real problem. There was trouble on the way. And so he prays to God. And he asks God to come in and fix his problem, fix his situation as only God can. God has the best vantage point. He knows everything that we're going through. He sees obstacles that you don't see. And God is already behind the scenes working it out. But here's your point in the whole situation, is that you got to trust God. You got to look to God when things are going wrong. You can't keep trying to fix it up, to prop it up, and expect God to come in and fix your situation. Don't you realize there's something you got to just let go and let God? There there's some stuff that's totally out of your control. You keep wrestling with it and fighting with it. There's some coworkers you fighting to this day, and God says, I already got it. If you would just simply move out of the way, God has already taken care of your situation. Look at here, he said that I will look to the hills from which cometh my help. And what that word help implies is that there's a part we must play in it as well. When I wake up in the morning, my prayer is that God will give me help. I've learned the key to not asking for stuff, but asking God for help. So some of us think that God is going to do everything. But there's some stuff that we must do as believers. And we're to go to God and ask for his help instead of struggling on our own, trying to do it on our own. Then he says, he will not suffer thy foot to be moved. This is God holding us together. Anybody ever been on shaky ground? Anybody ever been through an earthquake in your life where the ground up underneath you is constantly shaking? But understand that God is able to steady your step. He's able to keep you from falling. As a matter of fact, that's what Jude says in his doxology. Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling, to present you faultless before his presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power both now and forever. We got to trust in God because that's where our hope is. That's where our help is at, is in trusting God. Psalms 112, 5 and 8, it says, surely he shall not be moved forevermore. The righteous shall be everlasting remembrance. And he shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed. Listen here. Trusting in the Lord. His heart is established and he shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies. So God is here to take care of your situation. All of those naysayers, those folk that are always speaking evil against you. Understand this, that you don't have to fight them back. You don't have to raise a hand. You don't have to open your mouth sometimes. God will send somebody to raise up a standard for you. God will send somebody that will speak on your behalf. And I know every now and again we want to get folk up off of us. Well, maybe that's what you need at that particular time, is for folk to oppress you, that you might be able to clearly see God in his provisions. You'll be able to see God and trust him for all that he does. But here he said that I won't let you slip. I'm going to keep you. Even though the ground is shaking up underneath your feet, God will still keep us. Even when there's no peace, even when God allows the enemy to come in, he'll still be there with you. Understand that there's sometimes we need this, saints. We need the enemy to come against us that we might better trust the Lord. Better keep our faith in him. He holds the world in his hand. God has not lost control of this world. And he most certainly has not lost control of your situation. Colossians 1 and 16 says, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and are in the earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be throne or dominion or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. God is still holding it together. All by his creative might, his creative authority, he's still holding it all together. It's God the one that's doing it. It's never been you that's been keeping you. It's never been you that's been holding yourself up. It has always been God. And he'll continue to do it until he comes back. Not only is he our holder, but God is also our healer. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and forevermore. So in other words, God comes to heal us. All of us were sin sick. All of us had a condition that would lead to death. All of us had a death sentence on our lives. But God came in and he healed all of that. Romans 8:26, likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. We have the Spirit of God living inside of us that keeps us, that seals us. As a matter of fact, in Ephesians, that's what it says, that he comes in to seal us until the day of the Lord. That word sealed actually means to preserve us, to keep us. It is God all by himself that is only the only one that's able to do that. None of us have been able to keep ourselves. Wish that I could, but I know that I can't. There's some things that I'm susceptible to. There's some sin that I'm prone to do. And I'm unable to keep myself. But I'm glad that I serve a God that's able to keep me from falling. I'm glad that I serve a God that looked out on humanity with an eye of compassion. I'm glad that I have a Savior that realized that I was dead and on my way to hell. But he was one that would give life to me. Because even though the psalmist is looking to the hills from which cometh my help, I'm reminded of another hill called Calvary. A hill that was set out on Golgotha's hill, where they raised up my Savior, Jesus the Christ. They nailed him to an old rugged cross. Yes, the healing process has begun now. Jesus has begun to heal my sin-sick soul. When he died for my sins, yes, he nailed his hand, they nailed his feet. Put a crown of thorns on his head. Suffered, bled, and died. And God poured out all of my sin on Jesus. Even though he had done nothing, he had done no sin. But yet still he died for my sins on Calvary's cross. Yes, I'm looking towards the hills from which cometh my help. All of my help comes from Calvary. Yes, it does. It's in what Jesus did for me. How he suffered, bled, and died for me. The record declared that they took him and put him in a tomb, a borrowed man's tomb. He just borrowed it for a season. The record declares on the third day he rose with all power in heaven and earth in his hand. Yes, he saved me by that might. And I always look to the hills from which cometh my help. For I realize that all of my help, Deacon, comes from the Lord. All of my help comes from Christ Jesus. I can't find help nowhere else. Jesus will always be there. He'll always be there to help me. Because he's just that kind of God. You can trust him. You can depend upon him. He'll never fail you. He never failed me. He's never disappointed me. All of my help comes from the Lord. God bless you.
We hope you enjoyed this message today, and we pray that it was a true blessing to you. If you are interested in learning more about Pastor Charles D. Twyman and the Macedonia Baptist Church family, you can reach out to us at www.mbcdet.com. Thank you, and God bless you.